Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Kids, listen to your mother.
Mom!
Welcome to Between Us Moms with Katie Kraft-Morg and Hallie Stevens-Drake.
Hey, mamas, and thank you so much for joining us today. We so appreciate your time, your 30 minutes. We're so honored to have you. And I feel like we have a lot to talk about today. So, Hallie, do you want to just kick us off with your Cliff Notes?
I do. We have a ton to talk about. If you are curious about all the Taylor Swift tea that was swirling our algorithm over the weekend, Katie and I are going to give you all the things you need to know so that either your kids think you're cool or at least you can be a part of the conversation. So we'll keep our Cliff Notes semi-short this week, but I'm going to start with my latest travel adventure. I already talked to you about this a little bit, but for anyone who does not follow me on Instagram, I am flying back to LA every single week this month leading up to May, which is when I'm going to be birthing my second child. I'm entering the no-fly zone as of April 30th, so it's really kind of this home stretch. I'm not feeling super great, if I'm being honest. I'm trying to be positive just because being able to work is a blessing. Getting a paycheck is a blessing. Being able to stay in the mix with my job in LA is a blessing. But what has not been a blessing are the people I've encountered along the way en route to LA.
I feel like you need to write a book, like something about your travels, because you've come across the most wild people.
Like it's almost, I feel like Ashton Kutcher is somewhere hiding. He has revamped his show Punk'd and he's about to jump out of a bush somewhere and tell me, gotcha. Like, it's just insane. Most recently was last Tuesday. I get up at 4 a.m., get straight in an Uber to go to the airport to fly to LA. And I'm in this Uber and I had been up the entire night, didn't sleep a wink because I was feeling nauseous. I'm having really bad heartburn at night. It's only at night, really. And it's awful. It keeps me up. I'm sleeping propped up, but I already was kind of on edge. So smells
about pregnancy is like heartburn increases the more pregnant that you get. And the amount of Tums that we're taking at night also increase by the tenfold.
Oh yeah. I'm essentially keeping Tums in business. It is insane. And it was the same with Dylan. At this point in pregnancy, I was having heartburn as well, which, sidebar, apparently means your baby has a full head of hair. Have you heard that?
I have heard that. Mm-hmm. I guess I can see that.
Yeah. I mean, Dylan did have hair. All that to say, I get in this Uber and the man hotboxes me with his fart. Mm. It was so foul. It smelled, truly, I almost had sympathy for him. I was like, you must not be feeling well because that smells so bad. But it smelled so bad, I had to roll down my window and I puked out the moving car out the window. His fart made me throw up.
So I heard this story earlier because you stayed with us. Mm-hmm. But hearing it again and also experiencing nausea, I literally just took my Zofran to help with the nausea. It just all feels like it's just coming back up. Just here, like, those are my puke sounds.
Yeah, it was a full-blown hurl. Like full-blown empty stomach, managed to pull up dinner from the night before puke sesh. Like it was, I know, I'm sorry. It was terrible. And I'm like, am I going to get charged like the cleanup fee? Because this man farted.
Did it land on his car, like the puke?
I don't think so. We checked when we got to the airport. He was pretty nice about it. But like also the conversation after was so awkward because I didn't want to be like, yo, bro, your ass smells like a dead animal. And thus I puked. Like, I know my friend was like, honestly, if he charges you, that customer service chat is going to be so lit because it's just going to be like, he farted, I puked. Who's at fault here? I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the newest low and most unhinged moment of my pregnancy thus far. And I would like to add to that, I've entered the stage where under boob sweat is like, let's just take a look. Oh, yep. See? Nice little spot right there. Nice little spot right there. It's like, it can be cold outside and I put tissues under my boob to try and soak up some of the sweat. It's just, it's a real, real cute season over here at my house. So those are my cliff notes, Katie.
So I have a few updates.
Okay.
First, speaking of pregnancy boobs, I went down a rabbit hole as I do because I started leaking milk. I guess it's normal. It can happen when you are past 16 weeks. It's only happened twice now and it's not a lot, but it was enough for me to be wearing, you know, just like a light baggy t-shirt. And Jason and I had just gotten Kaya down and we were going to watch our show. Fallout, by the way, was great if you guys have not watched it. And he was like, are you leaking milk? And I looked down and there was just a giant wet spot over my nipple. It also happened yesterday on the other side. So love that for me.
Love that for you. How now? Okay. You stopped pumping and nursing when you were how far along?
We stopped giving Kaya breast milk around 5 months, but I stopped nursing and pumping at 3 months, but I had pumped so much that I had enough to get her.
But like you weren't actively excreting milk from your body.
No.
For like the last 7 months.
Right. No, I have. It's been a minute. And then it's so funny because, yeah, when we stopped giving her breast milk is when I got pregnant. Mm-hmm. So anyways, that's a thing that's happening. We had our big, you know, you've made it halfway through the pregnancy. Let's do a giant ultrasound and look at the baby's spine and brain and heart. So we had that. And yeah, the baby is looking healthy. The baby is growing properly. Measuring right on track. This baby, though, she's more wild.
Oh.
She never stopped moving during the ultrasound to the point where the ultrasound tech was like, baby, can you please stop moving so I can try and get like accurate measurements here? And kind of like you, my placenta is in the front this time. So like you feel her less, but I've actually been feeling her. Not like major kicks yet, but I feel like when she really moves positions, I feel like these weird little like swish, swish movements. Jason describes it as like an alien with like an alien whipping its tail.
A dragon.
Yeah. A little tiny dragon. But we're so grateful that the ultrasound went well.
It's a great milestone.
It is really, you just kind of like you breathe that sigh of relief afterwards. And then my last milestone is that Kaya is going through a sleep regression. Mm. This is now the third night this has happened where when we put her down for bed, and she is a great sleeper. I will say, thank the Lord Almighty. She is really a terrific sleeper. And it used to be like, okay, we give her her last feed. We kind of like rock her to sleep for a little bit. And then we move her to her crib. I give her like a giant kiss. I blow a kiss at her and she's out. No, now it's as soon as she feels us putting her into her crib, she is gripping onto me for dear life. She is standing there screaming her brains out. Like, how dare you leave me in this room you terrible, terrible person. Last night it went on for about, let's see, we've tried to put her down around like 6:45. I don't think she actually fell asleep until around 8:30, 8:45. And that was with me going in about every 10 minutes, because I've been reading about this to try and assure her. And then they say, don't take them out of the crib, just kind of like assure her. But then my heart breaks so much that I break all the rules and I have to take her out of the crib and give her a hug. The night before, I think I really ruined things because she woke up around 3 screaming bloody murder. I went to go rock her and then put her back down, screamed bloody murder. And this was already after it took us like an hour to initially get her down. So then I didn't know what to do. So I brought her into the bed with me and Jason. And I'm sleeping with a pregnancy pillow right now. By the way, you guys, both Hallie and I are recording this from our beds. And so I like put her into Jason's arms right next to me. And she thought it was playtime. So then she was just laying in our bed singing, odie, 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 and clapping. So then Jason was up with her for literally the rest of the night.
I want to tell you that this is it. Just get ready. The regressions happen. They just happen.
This is really the first real, real regression we've experienced with her. So I think we're like, what do we do? And are we bad parents? Are we doing it right? Like, what have we done wrong?
Nothing. It's a rite of passage. It's part of the hazing ritual of parenthood. You just want to go rescue them and you think, oh, they're going to be in therapy forever because I didn't go get them out of their crib, but like, it's okay. And the more sleep regressions you go through, the more seasoned you get at it and the better you get at letting them cry it out or whatever your method may be. But I know that first one is rough. You've gone through it. You're getting all the firsts right now. You had her first sickness, her first sleep regression. Yeah. Welcome to the dark side, sister.
That's what's going on over here.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right. Well, I think we should talk about Taylor Swift. dive right into the tea. The tea is fully dedicated to Taylor this week. She dropped her 16-song record at midnight on Thursday, and then 2 hours later at 2 a.m., surprise! She revealed it was actually a double album titled The Torture Poets Department, The Anthology, and that included an additional 15 songs. Now, Katie, I have become a Swiftie by proxy through you because we've been friends for almost a decade now, and you are the ultimate. You're the president of the fan club. You have met Miss Swift herself. You have followed her forever. You've been a fan since day one. So I want you to break down for people. I think the thing that we all were looking forward to is her talking about her relationships. She does talk about her ex-boyfriend of 6 years, Joe Alwyn. She talks about her fling with Maddie Healy from the 1975. And she also talks about Travis. So break down for everybody what they need to know from her album, what the references are. Let's start with Joe.
Okay. Really fast, I also just want to give her a shout out because Taylor Swift sent me a gift. And nothing makes my heart happier than when I see that box on my porch when a new album drops and it's wrapped in like a special thematic tape and it had the vinyl in it. I got the manuscript version. I got sweats. I got a bracelet. I got a letter. Ugh, I love her so much. Okay, Joe. So I think people really thought this album was going to be primarily about Joe and they were surprised when it wasn't. I feel like she actually wasn't so hard on Joe. And I think that shows that like she did respect the time that they had together. I think the harshest song and the one that we know is like 100% about Joe is So Long London. On Lover, she had a song called London Boy. Here we have So Long London. And there's this lyric in there that absolutely breaks my heart where she literally is like, saying that she's pissed for giving him so many years of her youth. Mm-hmm. And there's also moments in the album where you can hear that she's mad, like that he never put a ring on it. Like at one point he took a ring off her middle finger and put it onto her ring finger. And that was the closest that she got to her heart exploding.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, God, Taylor. Right,
isn't that like so awful? And then you also hear her sing about like how she lost the color in her face. And I think that relationship really just like ran its course, but they both just like stayed in it, fighting for it for so long to the point where it just, I think, became toxic in a weird way to both of their mental health. And I feel like this album so much is about her mental health. What I was surprised about is how much she Maddie Healy from the 1975. But then upon further inspection, she and Maddie go way back. And I knew this, but I think I didn't understand the gravity of just how intertwined their lives were. They go back a decade, 2014.
So romantically, they go back a decade? Or because we know they've done music together, they've sung together, they've been in the same community, but is it confirmed that they had a thing back then? Or
it's not fully confirmed, but what I got from this album is kind of like he was the one that she would go to when things didn't work out with her other relationship.
God, don't we all have one of those,
you know? And I also think she felt like a kindred, like artistry connection to him, which is like very clear in this album. And I think, you know, when you meet someone and there's instant chemistry and she does sing about their chemistry, I feel like this could have been like a situationship or like a hookup here and there for, yeah, in between all the relationships and, yeah, over the past 10 years. I think that that makes sense. I mean, at some point, I think it's safe to say that she like loved this person.
Mm. And doesn't she have a lyric in there that's kind of like calling out the people who were like criticizing her dating him after Joe?
Yeah. So that's actually one of my favorite songs on the album. It's called But Daddy, I Love Him. And in a weird way, it's not like an F you to the fans, but it's her saying like, I can't believe that you guys hated on this so much for me. And she says, quote, God save the most judgmental creeps who say they want what's best for me. And then she says, thinking they can change the beat of my heart when he touches me and counteracts the chemistry. And then she says, I'm having his baby no, I'm not. But she's kind of like, what if I was having this man's child and you guys are all literally hating on me and saying what you think is best for me? Just because, yeah, he has some skeletons in his closet. He hasn't always said the best things in interviews, but she felt like we were all judging them and tearing him down so much to the point where he couldn't take it anymore. And I think he literally up left and ghosted her. And that's also what I think The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived is about.
Oh, you think it's about him?
I think it's about him. And I think that's, I told Jason that. I was like, that's like the worst thing you can say about.
Yeah.
It's like, you are the smallest man who ever lived.
So what makes you think that that song is about him?
So I think the way that he like up and left her. And this is also why I think when we go back to Midnight's Question is also about him. I think there's actually a lot of songs in her discography that point to being about Matty Healy over the years that we had no idea. But I think it's about how he left the situation, left what was happening. And I think she really wanted to explore what was potentially between them finally. I think in a lot of her songs, she calls him Peter, as in Peter Pan. Same thing with Cardigan, like Peter losing Wendy. And then on this album, there's a song called Peter. And I think in 2014, you know, he was so young and not ready for a massive relationship. And then 10 years later, she thought, okay, this is the moment. I got out of this relationship. We're both single. We've both grown up. We can do this. And I think he was so overwhelmed by all the hate. And that's not what he wanted for himself as an artist. And he's talked about that before, not wanting to be like a role model per se. And I think he just couldn't take it anymore, which we know is one of Taylor's greatest fears, right? Is, and she sings about it in The Archer, like, who could stay? Who could stay in this with me? It's a hard life. He played into like her biggest fears of just like up and abandoning. Like, I think initially he was like, all right, let's finally freaking do this. I'm here to pick up those broken pieces. She was fresh out the slammer, aka fresh out of jail with Joe, which is another song. Imagine comparing your relationship to jail.
Ouch. Not nice. He's a little, not unhinged, but he's hard to predict. And he did say something at one of his shows, like kind of alluding to like, be careful what you say about me, without calling out Taylor directly. Did you hear about this?
I did. I think he was worried about what this, like only they know what happened between them, right?
Right.
I think he was worried. And I think if this is the worst thing that she's, yeah, it's still bad. Like, you're the smallest man who ever lived. But I'm sure whatever happened is much worse, at least from her end. We also don't know his side of the story.
Yeah. But you did know? Mention The Archer and like who would stay. And we know when Travis Kelce went to go see her at the Eras Tour, he held up the sign saying, we will stay. She also has songs that are about Travis, which I think people were a little surprised she could turn it around that quickly. But tell everybody what references she makes to her man.
So there's two songs that really stood out to me upon first listen. The first is like The Alchemy, which starts off, I think, more so about Maddie potentially, and then gets to Travis towards the end. But there's a song on there called So High School, which is so cute. Aww. And it's definitely about Travis. In the lyric video, she highlighted their initials. And it's just about how he makes her feel. And I think when she posted this video for the Fortnite challenge, where you kind of like share a glimpse of your life, like 14 days or whatever it is. And she, I think that was her way of saying like, yeah, this album was really hard and I really went through it and my mental health was affected and I was at a really low point in my life. And I was trying to deal with the perils of fame, and now I'm happy. And I think that video and like those clips, like there's clips of them, I think in Singapore, there's one of her cooking and he's kissing her, and then she's playing pickleball and she has a Chiefs paddle. I think those were all her ways of being like, I'm good now.
As you know, the men aren't the only ones she's talking about.
So we got to talk about the Kim K.
Yeah.
So Taylor has a song called Thank You, Amy. The K, the I, and the M in the title are all capitalized to spell out Kim.
Mm-hmm.
I think that makes it pretty damn obvious that this song is about Kim.
If you guys aren't familiar, like a just quick synopsis of the beef between them goes way, way, way back. It kind of started when Kim's now ex-husband, Kanye West, hopped on the stage at the MTV VMAs in 2009 and declared that Beyonce deserved the award that Taylor had just won. in 2016. She kind of called him out publicly for rapping on one of his songs, like "Me and Taylor Might Still Have Sex, I Made That Bitch Famous." Then Kim came to Kanye's defense and she released this phone conversation where she claims that Kanye actually got permission to use those lyrics in his song Straight from Taylor. She also posted a bunch of snakes on National Snake Day that year, like calling out Taylor. But then in 2017, you'll remember Taylor dropped Reputation, which was kind of her revenge album. And a lot of those songs were rumored to be about the beef and the whole feud. And in 2020, Taylor actually addressed the phone call when the full phone conversation was leaked, saying like, okay, this actually proves I was telling the truth the whole time. She kind of said, you know, you put my family and my fans through hell for 4 years, this whole thing. It seemed like they had kind of buried the beef and that they weren't feuding anymore. Kim danced with North on TikTok to a song by Taylor. She said she actually really liked her songs in an interview. Seemed like they'd put it behind them, but these lyrics are like pretty poignant and hard to ignore. Like she says that her mom, who's a quote saintly woman, used to wish that she was dead. And then she also kind of says like, you know, I wrote these songs about you, but without any identifying clues. And then she says, and one day your kid comes home singing a song that only us two is going to know is about you. I mean, she kind of let Kim have it. Clearly, she still has feelings about everything that went down.
So, listen, if someone tried to derail my career to the point where she like literally almost didn't come back, like this really put her into a sad spiral moment in her life, I don't think it's fair to say like get over it. Like this person literally had such an effect on her. I will say, stemming from that, Reputation is one of my favorite albums of all time. And that was like kind of that, after that moment, that album that came out with her having something to say. I never speak poorly about Taylor and I don't want this to be taken that way. As a mom now, I don't know that she should have put the lyric in there about the kid.
You know what? I think that's fair. I think that's fair to say.
You can have the beef with the mom and I think you can be upset and I think you can be angry and I think you can forgive in your own time, or you can forgive and not forget, as Taylor always likes to say. But I don't know if I like the involving your kid. Do you agree with me?
I agree. I do agree. I think, I mean, she wasn't criticizing any of her children, which I think, you know, it was very just much a like reference to what really happened. Like her kids are dancing to Taylor Swift songs on TikTok. And that must be a semi-glorious moment for Taylor.
Totally.
But you're right. I think there are lines we probably just shouldn't cross. You know, just, I didn't think it was necessary. But damn, that one would sting.
Yeah. Absolutely. Overall, I really liked this album. I like that we got so many songs. There's another song on there called The Black Dog that was supposed to be like a bonus song, and it's on part two, like the anthology version, that I can't get out of my head, and I love it so, 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 so much. But I did feel like this, the way that this album ended, felt like a real like ending to me for some reason.
I hope it's the end of her need to address drama. I just hope that like her,
yeah,
you know, like I think she's kind of been through a lot in the last decade. And I hope that this is the start of something new, something lighter, not to be cheesy, but a new era for Taylor, a more positive era, one with less drama, less, you know, I hope she just gets her happily ever after because she deserves it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I think we should dive into our OMG of the week because this one is crazy. Kourtney Kardashian had everyone on the internet deep in conversation about drinking your own breast milk because she posted a picture of herself in bed saying that she, quote, just pounded a glass of breast milk because she felt sick. So this is interesting. I want to know, Katie, have you ever tried your own breast milk?
I did try it, but not like a big gulp. I think I told you, like, I just wanted to see what it tasted like. So I did like a finger dipping dab situation. Just to
and
see.
Your review?
It tasted like Lucky Charms milk.
Yeah. It's so sweet.
It. Yeah. It's sweet.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I could ever drink a full blown glass of my own breast milk or anyone else's for that matter.
No. I also feel like it's so precious. Like, to me, at least, I felt like it was a labor of love to get all that milk that I wanted my child to have every last drop. And when I accidentally knocked over some breast milk, when I tell you I cried real tears, I cried real tears.
When Andrew once poured, like, I'd say maybe a shot glass worth of milk into the drain, I was like, what the fuck are you doing? That is literally like my nipples have been sacrificed for that milk that you just poured down the drain, that perfectly good milk. What are you doing? Like, I was like, savor every drop. You know, I get being holistic and stuff, but would I drink a glass of my own milk to feel better when I was sick? No. But like, you do you, Kourtney. I know she's very into like natural remedies and all the things, but like, holy shit, a whole glass.
Would you ever eat your own placenta in like a pill version?
Okay, so this is very interesting you brought this up. I was not against it, and I wanted to know a lot about it when I was giving birth to Dylan. So I did a lot of research. I talked to my doctors. It just so happened that when I was talking to my doctor about having my placenta put into pill form, Cedars-Sinai Hospital had just released a memo to all doctors who deliver at the hospital saying, please discourage your patients from doing this because a woman had gotten extremely ill from eating her own placenta. So my doctor discouraged me, said that the science isn't actually there to warrant doing it. It's more of a placebo effect. I wasn't against it, but here's something disgusting. My doctor, when I delivered Dylan on my birth preference sheet, I said I wanted to see my placenta. I was just curious, like, what's this thing that's been nurturing my child for the last 9 months?
Right.
Showed it to me. The nurses then said they had a woman come in with a Nutribullet, blended her placenta, and drank it.
Oh, that is, you know, we all dance to the beat of our own drum.
Right. I know. I don't want to shame anybody for their choices, but let me tell you, that is not my journey. I saw what that placenta looks like, and it is
bloody and bleh.
Yeah, it's an organ.
I would puke all over again.
I know.
From placentas and breast milk to a mama we love, I do feel like this episode is very celebrity heavy, and normally we aren't this celebrity heavy, but the mama we love this week is Rihanna because she's keeping it so real about wanting post-baby plastic surgery. I know that this is not something that we can all do or that we all even want to do. I think what we like about Rihanna is that she's always just saying what's on her mind, and that's why we love her. So I know this journey is not for everybody. I don't even really think it's for me. It's expensive, and we don't have that kind of cash just laying around for post-baby plastic surgery. But that being said, she told Interview Magazine that she doesn't want implants. She just wants a lift. Quote, I haven't done enough research to know, but I heard that you might have some scars. And then she said, quote, I want my titties pinned back to my shoulders right where they used to be. She also said she doesn't ever want to have a tummy tuck because she doesn't want, quote, a new navel. Interesting.
You know,
have you thought getting surgery post-baby? Like, is that something on your mind?
Andrea said, if that's something I want, he fully supports it. He's down for the expense. I don't know yet. I will say I've thought to quote Rihanna, titties looked pretty good after 8-9 months of breastfeeding Dylan. So we'll see. I mean, going back to back, I've heard, you know, the boobs take a toll.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Listen, it's not relatable yet so relatable. Like, what new mom doesn't want their titties pinned back to their shoulders? Like,
totally.
Yeah, give me those perky boobs. Like, I get it. I like that she's honest about it. Like, again, we've talked about this so much on the podcast. So just, if you're going to do it, own it.
Be honest. Yeah.
Be honest. Tell us about it. Yeah. It's just, I just think it's like doing a public, you know, service to be honest that, like, hey, men out there, don't expect your wives' tits to look perky like a 21-year-old after they've been feeding your child for a year or whatever.
Right.
You know, because it's just kind of setting this unrealistic expectation. And it's honestly just a kindness you can do to be like, this isn't normal. It looks great. And it didn't before I spent some cash on it. So,
like, people,
we love you, Riri.
Look at my post baby body without disclaiming that they had some surgery. It does all of us a disservice.
Yeah, some bullshit.
Own it.
So
be honest.
Power to you. We support you doing it, but just keep it real so that our husbands don't think something's wrong with us. You know? Like, you know, why are your tits hitting the floor and hers are up at her shoulders? Well,
There was some help. There was an intervention.
There was a doctor and a knife involved. So
yeah. All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. We love you. We're grateful for you. If you could help us spread the word, tell a mama friend about our podcast, we would so appreciate it. We're here every Tuesday and Friday.
Join our secret Facebook group. We're talking all things motherhood. It's a safe space. Come join us. Invite friends. We really want this to be a community for all mamas.
Amen. Like we say here, motherhood is a sisterhood. And we'll see you next time.